a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
I'm Dave Knutson, the Senate Majority Leader. One thing that we've typically done in these press conferences is kind of look back what was important, what has the legislature done. I think this last week has been, at least on the Senate side, a couple of important areas, important bills that we passed. One is House Bill 1018, which is part of the unemployment insurance issue. That bill amended our unemployment provisions to allow for payment of benefits to people obtaining further education following becoming unemployed. This qualified us for roughly $11 million of additional funding to help our unemployment insurance fund. We had earlier passed Senate Bill 186. I believe this, the House may have passed that, which was the change in the rates and wage base levels and so forth. I think those two bills together represent a real positive movement forward for South Dakota as we deal with the unemployment insurance situation. Again, we're paying out record levels of benefits and have record levels of unemployed persons, and it was important there. It was not an option. It was a necessity that we strengthen and shore up our unemployment insurance fund, and I think those two bills have been very important pieces of legislation this year. That's an area that hasn't had a lot of public comment or scrutiny, but if you recall, we had to impose a surcharge that was about $150 a worker last year, and this is a very important set of bills. The other, I think, really important legislation this last week was House Bill 1263, which was the wind energy easement area. The whole question of length of time of an easement, what constituted development when you started to develop an easement. We had a limit of 5 years. This now goes up to potentially 12 years. It clarifies what constitutes wind development. Wind energy obviously is a major part of our economy as we look forward, major part of the of our development. Again, I think we've gone from 2 megawatts to about 300. I think there's another roughly 300 or maybe more coming online this year alone. So we've got it's a story of success, but the clarifying these fundamental legal relationships is a very strong step forward. It was something that brought together all the players in that industry. I think Representative Noem and Senator Roden were the principal legislative leaders on that effort, and they put a lot of time and energy into this. And I think it's a real achievement because I know as a practicing attorney, when you looked at the wind easement stuff, you just, I think it's fair to say nobody had a clue. And so I think that's a very important bill, really puts a good baseline, makes us, allows much easier for the development of the very large wind projects, which are, you know, in the 500 to 1,000 megawatt kind of categories. These are huge investments. And we really needed to shore up again our baseline legal arrangements for what constitute wind easements and how you preserve them. Big project refunds continues to be an important moving piece out there. The House will take up 195. Next Monday in the Senate State Affairs Committee, we'll have 1060. I think, again, we're working at trying to produce something that is fair to South Dakota's taxpayers. I think almost everybody that has looked on this program has concluded that we're paying millions and in some cases tens of millions of dollars to projects that were going to come here anyway. This at a time where we have severe budget crunches, and it's a program that's in desperate need of reform, and it achieving this reforms is one of the real important pieces of legislation left in this legislature. As I look out, what are the moving pieces of real significance left? It's large project refunds. It is K-12 education. It appears there's a fairly strong divide in that area between potentially the House and the Senate. I don't personally expect the Senate to have much give from the way 124 passed. If we're not able to come to some agreement, there certainly is a possibility that there will be no legislation this year that enacts legislatively the governor's proposed 0% increase. Now, whether that would whether the failure to enact something that recognizes a 0% increase for the schools this year would impact the budget situation, I don't know at this time, but I think the possibility of passing anything that has a 0% increase in K-12 education without having substantially 124 in its Senate form attached is close to zero. The budget issue continues to be important. I think I'll let Representative Fain give his points, and then we'll probably together come back and talk about budget issues.
Well, thank you, Dave. One of these weeks I need to go first because I think he looks at my notes. He kind of tends to cover everything that I had listed. And while we're on the education piece, I'm far more optimistic than Senator Knutson is that we're going to find a process that will put a education plan in place. We have both have our bills in place. In fact, we just this morning amended a bill out of House Appropriations that will put some of the language in place that we'll begin negotiations with when we go to conference committee next week. And I'm pretty confident that we'll find a way to reach an agreement with the Senate. I do believe, as it looks, both sides, the proposals do have 0% for this coming year, but a plan to improve upon that later. So I'm imagining next week we'll have more to say about that. Other than that, again, the large project, Senator Knutson covered that. I'm hopeful that we can find a compromise on the large project issue, much like was achieved with the wind easements that Senator just talked about. I hope that all parties will get together and find room to come together on a good compromise. I've said before, I always view a good compromise as one that everybody's mad at the end. So that would be a good compromise if everybody feels that they came out on the short end of the stick, and maybe that'll happen.
The prospects of achieving that on big power or big project refunds is pretty good, making everybody mad.
I think they already are. And so we're on our way to a compromise, then it appears. We also, when we leave here, one or both of us need to go to House local government, because Senate Bill 104, which expands and more completely clarifies the open government bill that Senator Knutson and I had last year. We do have a bill this year that would expand and clarify some of the rules of open government. That'll be heard today. I fully expect it'll pass committee and the House floor. That will be coming along soon. Not a huge change, but notable nonetheless. I guess the biggest news from the House floor this week was probably the fact that we sent Senate Joint Resolution 3 onto the ballot. SJR 3 was asking the voters of South Dakota to decide if they wanted to put a secret ballot amendment to our Constitution, basically guaranteeing the right of South Dakota voters to always be able to vote secretly rather than having to be forced into a public vote. SJR 3 is passed now, both the House and Senate, and will appear on the ballot in November. The only other things, I guess, that Senator Knutson didn't touch on, I don't know if any of you were able to attend. We had a I believe it was Tuesday, we kicked off the celebration of this building being 100 years old this year. This is the centennial year for the state capitol. I'm very proud to be here as part of the centennial celebration of this wonderful building. Every year I come back, I have a greater appreciation for what a wonderful state capitol we have, and I'm so pleased that it was preserved, or brought back, I should say, to its original form a few years ago. We've got a building to be proud of, and I think there will be, I know there will be further celebrations coming this summer to commemorate the 100th anniversary. Overall, the overriding issue that we dealt with in the House this week was reaching the end of the appropriations process to come down with some budget numbers. We've been working through the process for 7 weeks now. It's a hard, tedious process. Every year I'm so thankful that we have a group of people known as the Appropriations Committee. They work many more hours than most legislators do. They have hard votes, they have hard decisions, and they have a lot of input in how our budget process comes together. We're nearing the end of that, and we will have proposals that we'll talk about shortly on how we feel our budget should be handled this year. But I, at this point, publicly would like to thank both the House and Senate appropriators for another tough, long process. And please note, I've used the word process many times because it is a process. We don't know where we're going to end up until the Appropriations Committee goes through this process. It would be unfair of us to come out early in the session and say we're going to spend here and cut there until we have a chance to listen to the state agencies and their priorities. We have done that now. We have reached decisions on where we need to go. And again, please understand that this is a process that takes time. We have many state agencies that need and deserve the chance to plead their case before the Appropriations Committee and the full legislature. That doesn't happen in a day, a week, or even a month. And we have guaranteed you from the beginning of this session that we would be the party of reason and responsibility this year, and I feel we have achieved that goal. We're going to be responsible in our budget decisions, and I feel we're being reasonable in our budget decisions, and that doesn't happen overnight. So I know many of you are anxious to find out what the Republican quote-unquote plan is, and I'll let Senator Knutson address that a little more.
Yeah, I think I want to join Bob in one thanking our appropriations members for their hard work. And again, I know there's a lot of concerns about the slowness of this process, but the process is either going to be thoughtful and slow or fast and ignorant. And it seems to me that thoughtful and slow is the preferable part of those two options. The whole session has been a search for ideas. We've been open to suggestions. I think I can say that we've received relatively few suggestions for further cuts from the executive branch. They obviously feel like when they produce a budget that they've done as good a job as they can. Again, just recapping, we started with a budget that was had a $32 million deficit when the legislature refused to do the Color Gabriel adjustment and shift that, or insisted on doing the Color Gabriel adjustment and not shift money, state responsibilities, local taxpayers, became 36, and then with some additional K-12 students became 39 or 40. And I think as it sits here today, it's, again, the budget deficit is $38 to $40 million. Our commitment at the very beginning of the session was to find $40 million of cuts. We are going to meet that commitment. We also recognize that on Monday, the Joint Appropriations Committee will receive final revenue estimate data and will make their final revenue estimate. That could have the impact of increasing the size of the deficit. And if it does, that will send everybody, I think, again, back to the drawing boards. Can we find further cuts? How do we adjust to reflect possibly softer revenues? I think there are very few optimists out there that expect the revenue estimates to come in more robust than what the governor proposed. So I think people are getting ready for the likelihood that the funding gap between ongoing expenditures and ongoing revenues will likely increase, and we will be working next week to try and cover whatever the new data shows. Again, on the mentioned, the executive branch more or less understandably doesn't provide much for information because it's their budget, they're trying to defend it. From the other party, I have not heard much by way of concrete budget proposals from them. They have focused most of their energy on trying to put some artificial limit of 3% on state growth. I think that's just a straitjacket that doesn't make sense. It's much better to go through the process each and every year and spend appropriately. We've had proposals to combine relatively small-sized state offices, save $50,000 here, maybe $200,000 there. Again, I just have not seen what I consider to be serious budget-saving proposals coming from the other party. So, as Representative Fain indicated, this is a very difficult, tedious process. I thought that was a very good word. And I think we're pleased that we're nearing the final end of that, and hope to be able to share with you later today our proposals for budget reductions. And I think with that, we'd be open to questions.
Trivia question, but it's also a serious question. Which costs more, the fourth floor renovation of the legislature or the original cost of construction of the Capitol?
I'm guessing the answer is probably the fourth floor of the renovations, but I don't know.
Yeah. How much was the fourth floor?
I don't know. I've not been on the executive board. It's been one of their projects. I don't remember what
I
the number
either.
Is.
It's been a few years ago that they passed it. Early in my term here, the spending bill, I truly don't remember what it was. It was a nice upgrade.
So I like the old committee rooms better.
The Democrats just finished their press conference, and they were talking about the process if you were. And one of the things that they said was not so much that this should necessarily be done earlier in the process, but that they objected to how condensed everything gets at the end. And toss out ideas such as perhaps waiting and putting an extra off week in there in between when the budget's dropped and when it's voted on or things like that, because they said it doesn't work if when you have like 2 days to consider all these amendments in the budget. I was wondering what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I mean, there's been, ever since I've been out here, there have been complaints about the appropriations process. You know, I think you evaluate ideas to look and see if there's any good sense to it. Just on first blush, having an empty week there between, sort of a next to last day and a last day with veto day presumably trailing behind, I'm not sure you gain that much. I think the process this year, again, we're anticipating being able to share our proposed budget ideas later today. We'll put those out a little bit earlier in view of the very serious budgetary process or deficit situation we face this year. The changes from the governor's budget are much more dramatic than they have been in the past, and I think it's appropriate to get those ideas out into the public earlier than normal. But I think is the appropriation process perfect? Obviously not. But I'm not sure just putting another week in there moves the ball forward that much.
I don't know what it would change. I really don't know what it would change. First of all, if we're not here, nothing will happen. I think it's just adding seven more days of rhetoric is probably all that'd be achieved by that. And it, frankly, we reach a point where how long do you want this session to go? I think it's vital that we maintain the South Dakota legislature as a citizens' legislature. I do like the changes that we've made in the last couple of years where most of our work weeks are 4 days. It gives us all a chance to try and take care of business at home. But it did extend our calendar from 8 weeks to 9 weeks. If we extend it to 10 or 12 weeks with breaks involved, there's a lot of us, including me, that wouldn't be here. And I think the people of South Dakota want a citizens legislature, and we're starting to push it to an extreme now where it's very hard to have a real job and do this as a part-time job as well. It's a stretch already, so I'd hate to see it consume more and more time. I think the longer any legislature stays in session, I've heard it said 100 times at home, you guys should just go a week, you wouldn't cause as many problems then. And so I think extending it, there's probably a little truth to that.
Along that same subject, you've got, what, several days available extra that you could use? Are you going to need those, do you think?
Hopefully not. As I say, there are some major issues still outstanding. But in terms of subsidiary issues, I think those are going to be pretty small. Somehow my feeling is we're going to have fewer conference committees this year than we have had in the past. I think when we do have conference committees, in most cases, they're going to probably be able to resolve the disputes, differences between the houses fairly quickly. So, you know, a lot of times you get down to the end, you got 10, maybe 15 bills still in play, some important, some not. This year, I'm guessing it's going to be a much smaller number of bills in play the last 2 or 3 days.
I just spoke with the Speaker before I came down, Speaker of the House, Rave, and I were just on that topic before I came down, and both of us were quite surprised at the low number of conference committees we expect. There'll be a few on minor things, but I don't see more than 2 or 3 major issues that remain to go to conference committee. As Dave alluded to, we'll let you know later today about the work that we've concluded on the budget plan, a few other issues, and I see no reason why we won't come in on schedule.
You know,
we're almost out of time on public TV, and I just wanted to ask a question since we're on public TV. Do you plan cuts in public broadcasting?
I don't. Do you?
It's not been on any list I've seen.
I'm not sure where that all generated from. I really don't. We've sure got emails, but
yes.
You folks are still employed. I watch Stephanie every night. What could we do? That's how I know what you're up to on the other side of the building.
It's kind of interesting. I mean, there's almost no committees meeting on Monday, and relatively few bills in the committees that are meeting. And so I think on the Senate side, we're planning to take our, you know, finish our Monday calendar on Monday. So I'm guessing the Tuesday calendar or last day to pass bills will be a relatively light one.
And we've got a pretty good number, 20, 30 bills yet maybe that we'll have to go through, but we have 3 sessions. We'll get through part of them today. Now I think we're going to come in on time.
You mentioned the budget projections are coming out Monday, and the situation could very well get worse. I know you're unveiling your cut proposals later today, but can you say what you have additional cuts, also prepare that you've got X number of cuts for the current projection and then certain others that would apply only if the situation gets worse, or are you going to have to go back again and start over?
If you could tell me what the projection would be, I could answer that. But we are actually going to show you cuts in excess of $40 million.
And also we should mention, as we will this afternoon too, we need to let the executive branch weigh in on this too. We have not, the cuts we're showing you today are ideas that we have that the governor hasn't commented on yet. So we'll have to see how that all works out.
Have you shown those to the governor?
We have delivered those to the executive branch.
this morning, or when did you do that?
Yesterday.
Minute and a half left.
Very well. Thank you, folks.
Any last question, Chad? No? Okay. Thank you.
They want to know when and where.
See you this afternoon.
Yeah.